Thanks, Matt and Tessa. Well, they sound good, eh? Pretty. There's some talent hidden there. Really nice. Well, welcome again to our little kickoff service. And in some ways, this service is just an intro to the fall and an intro to our series that's really starting next week, Family 911. And just kind of giving an overview both of the church and of our fall plans. You know, this church started as a Sunday school, really, back in the 40s. In fact, I think there might have even been something in the late 30s, but back in the 40s, it started as a church and then eventually made its way into becoming a real church in the mid-50s or so, probably about 1950, 55. They started having services and, you know, a lot of water under the bridge since then. I think, yeah, here's a picture of one of the first church services of this church. That's March 1955, Lake Windermere Alliance Church service, all clustered in whatever building they were meeting in at the time. And that's, you know, well over half a century ago. Well, a lot of things have happened since then, and we find ourselves right now as a church in this, we call a season of transition, where we've been walking through this process between lead pastors, closure and assessing our health and having a bit of a plan going, and we're right on the cusp here of preparing for our pastoral search. And that's really what we're moving towards. We've got a board retreat coming in November where we're starting to dig into that a bit. And fairly early in the new year, we'll be hitting it hard, starting with our pastoral search for a new lead pastor. That's where we're at, and I expect we'll be in search, you know, come spring and have things rolling in time for, as I call it, the pastoral migration season in the spring. We'll be ready. We'll be in search at that time of the year. Now, coming up this fall, there's a few things starting. Next week, we've got this series called Family 911, and it's about family issues. And I just want to say, it doesn't matter where you're at, what age or stage or state of life you're in, there's something relevant for you here, because you're in these kind of families, or you're called to support and be a part of supporting and strengthening those kind of families. So next week, we're looking at making marriage work. In fact, it's going to be a little bit like a mini marriage seminar. It's going to be, you know, a couple of songs at the start, and then a little longer presentation on making marriage work. And it's going to be a little bit like a marriage seminar. If you want to strengthen your marriage, if you know people who want to strengthen their marriage, they're good to invite to that. And if you're not in a marriage or not planning to be married, again, your role is to come and encourage those who are in a marriage and to pray for those who are married and just to help strengthen all the marriages that are present. And then, of course, breakthrough parenting, talking about some key principles for parenting, and then finally your family's greatest need, which goes deep and will be a pretty important part of that series. So you're welcome to join us again. No matter what age or stage of life you're in, there is relevance across the spectrum. A few other things happening through the fall: adult Christmas banquet November 29th. There'll be more information coming about that, and then a couple days later on Sunday, kind of like a Sunday like this, a family service, a Christmas potluck followed by an afternoon Christmas party. So it'll be kind of like today's get-together, just with Christmas injected a little bit. And then we'll go into our Christmas series, O Come All Ye Stressful. O Come All Ye Doubtful. O Come All Ye Fearful. And we'll hold it together and get to Christmas Eve, O Come All Ye Hopeful. So if you've ever wrestled with stress or doubt or fear, there might be something relevant for you there in that series. And those are the kind of, if you're a regular in this church, are the kind of Sundays that you can invite people to and know there'll be something relevant for them. More information on all these things you can find on our church website, on our church Facebook page, and you can sign up there to get our emails so you get emailed whenever there's new things happening. In a few moments, in a little while, a few moments, Matt's going to come back up and explain some of what we do to take care of our kids and make sure they're safe and move into the mealtime. But what I want to do this morning, just as kind of a kickoff for the fall and even a kickoff for our series, is highlight a very simple idea that's behind everything we do. And sometimes in all of the activity, this idea can get buried and hidden, and we want to be very upfront that this is behind everything that we do. Now, I'm sure everybody here is familiar with GPS. Back in the day, you had to buy an actual GPS. And now GPS is on our phones and in our cars and everywhere else. And there's been a lot of interesting stories about people getting misled by their GPSs, isn't there? you know, people driving down a road and turning, and all of a sudden they're in a desert, or all of a sudden they're, you know, one guy drove into a lake somehow. I don't quite understand how that happened. There's more than a bad GPS going on there, but, you know, but what they found, what the reason that these GPSs mislead people is not, it's actually not the GPS. It's the data that the GPS is drawing from. And what they discover with some of these serious incidents is that some of the data these GPSs are drawing from is old. Not just years old, but sometimes decades old mapping data, especially in certain parts of the U.S. Where the data they're drawing from, there's roads that have never been built that show up on the GPS. There's roads that have turned into railway tracks. There is a numbering system that's changed completely from what it used to be, and so the houses are not where they're supposed to be on the GPS because they're drawing from the wrong data. And if you take the wrong data, you end up in the wrong place. Well, in the church here, one of the very most important pieces of data that we draw from is, in fact, the Bible. It's our GPS, it's our data bank, and I've read the Bible through, you know, first time when I was 14, since then probably, you know, 10 or 15 times, give or take. I know one old pastor I know, he's read the Bible through over 200 times, just immersed in it. But I've read it through several times. I've read the New Testament many more times than that. I've memorized big chunks of it. And I found one verse, a very simple Bible verse, that in some ways captures the whole thing. And it's the idea that's behind everything that we do. And I want to lay it out there right out of the gate here, right in the fall. See, the basic plot of the Bible, very simply stated, is that God created everything, and it was good, and he created us to have fellowship with him, to be in relationship with him. That's the point of this whole thing called creation, to be in relationship with God and point to God's goodness and glory. That relationship was broken, and we break it ourselves continually. Well, the Bible is a story of creation, how the relationship was broken, and what God has done and is doing and is going to do to restore that relationship and restore all of creation. That's really the plot line of the Bible. And there's one simple verse that captures it really quite well, and it's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And if you're visiting with us this morning, I want to communicate this to you very clearly. This is what's behind a lot of what we do. Should be behind everything we do. And if you're a regular, this is a reminder and maybe in a sense a bit of a training to help you communicate this basic, simple truth. Let me take a few moments and just unpack this verse for you. It really sums up the broad story of the Bible. We'll just walk through it word by word. Starts talking about wages. What are wages? Wages are what you get paid. If you work as a waitress, you get waitress wages. You work as a surveyor, surveyor wages. Work as a teacher, teacher wages. That's what wages are. I think we all understand wages. You do something, you get what you deserve from that. This talks about a very specific kind of wages. It talks about the wages of sin. Do you know you get paid for sinning? How cool is that? Paid for sinning. What exactly is sin, though? Well, sin is anything that is contrary, that falls short of God's absolute standard of perfection. Anything we do that falls short, anything we say that falls short, anything we think, any train of thought that we follow, that falls short of God's absolute standard of perfection. Has anybody here sinned lately? I want you to, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. If you've sinned just like one or two or three times, I want you to put your hand here. If you've sinned a lot, I want you to put your hand here, okay? So let's take a, this shows how much have you sinned, a little or a lot? Let's see those hands there. Okay, hold them up there. Look around. Look around. Yeah. Even Howie. Look at that. The Bible says, and we don't celebrate sin, but we want to make it clear, the Bible is clear that everyone, in fact, has sinned. Everyone, in fact, has fallen short of perfection. The wages, unfortunately, something described here as death. The wages of sin is death. Now, there's two kinds of death. There's the death when your heart stops beating and your brain stops waving and the body fails. But there's another kind of death that's really defined in Scripture as being separated from your Creator. And if you are not in a right relationship with your Creator, in this life right now and you die in that state, that separation continues forever. That's death. That's ultimate spiritual death. And that's, you know, kind of a negative thought. Not very good thought. But you know, something I've discovered is that before people can get connected to their Creator, they've got to understand that they're disconnected. Before people can get in a right relationship with their Creator, they need to understand they're in a bad relationship with their Creator, that they've done things that have broken that relationship. In a sense, it's like the way we're wired, we need to hear the bad news before we hear the good news. And the bad news is that the wages of sin, and we're all sinners, is death. That we are disconnected from our Creator and in line to be separated from Him absolutely forever. And I've discovered, too, that very few people will argue with the idea that they've done wrong. I remember my very first year in Bible school going to the University of Regina and talking to people about this very thing and talking to, you know, to Muslims and communists and atheists and everybody else, and every single one of them would admit that they'd done wrong. Everybody's willing to admit that they've done wrong. Everyone's willing to admit that they have fallen short from some standard in some way. If you look around the world, there's a lot of evidence for that. It's hard to argue against this. The next word here is a little word. It's an important word, though. It's a conjunction. If you want to get into the grammar, it joins two phrases together. But the nature of this conjunction is it also creates a contrast. It says what's coming now is different than what came before. And that word is but. In high school, Kristen and I, we went to the same high school. She was, you know, much older than me and many years ahead of me in high school. But we had the same chemistry teacher. And Mr. Siri, funny little guy. And he'd be teaching away in his funny little way, and every now and then if he was making a contest, he would say, but, and this is the butski, and then he'd make a point. And that's kind of the way I think of this verse. There's this thing called the wages of sin is death, but, and this is the butski. There's a contrast here. There's something completely different. Instead of wages, we're talking about a gift. A gift. What's the difference between wages and a gift? Wages, you do the work, you get the payment you deserve. Gifts, especially gifts given by those who love us, we didn't earn them, we don't deserve them, sometimes we really don't deserve them. You know, I remember as a child, I was sometimes, could be described as a rotten little kid. But you know, when birthday came around, I got a present. When Christmas came around, I got gifts because those gifts weren't based on how good I had been. They were because someone loved me. And this is talking about a gift. It's talking about a very specific kind of gift, though. It's talking about a gift that comes from God Himself. Now, I like getting presents, but I really like giving presents, too. There's something about that, isn't it? Jesus Himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I remember back in 2005, we were planning and saving and preparing to do this once-in-a-lifetime big family holiday to Belize. We talked to our kids about this. We wanted to do something before they left home. Said, if we could go anywhere, do anything you want, what would it be? And they said, snorkeling. We want to go somewhere. They're both, you know, fish. They like to swim. Let's go somewhere where there's really good snorkeling. So we did all our research, and, you know, first choice was the Cook Islands. But it was kind of pricey. You had to go to New Zealand and fly back. And it was just, you know, I think long trip and really burned up the money quickly. But the second close second was Belize. Great barrier reef off this one island. And so we planned to head to Belize in the spring of 2006. So we told the kids, you know, for Christmas here, Christmas 2005, there's not going to be a lot happening. You know, we're putting everything into this trip. That's like our Christmas present, so don't really anything. I mean, they probably expected a, you know, Terry's chocolate orange or something. You know, you can't have Christmas without a Terry's chocolate orange. But apart from that, they weren't really expecting anything. So Christmas Day comes and we hand them these little boxes, you know, probably thought it was something like a Terry's chocolate orange, and they open it up. Does anybody remember what happened in the fall of 2005, a new product that came on the market for the very first time? iPod Nano. iPod Nano. Every kid wanted one. They came in September 2005, and our daughter opens hers. She opens presents like this. She got hers open first. She saw it, and she started doing the, you know, the two-footed Tigger hop, you know, around the Christmas tree and everything. Our son opened his a little more slowly. He just sat there saying, you've got to be joking me. You've got to be joking me. because they were expecting nothing. They were expecting nothing, and it was so much fun to give them that gift that year. You need to understand that God is like that. That God is a gift giver. That God loves giving gifts. And if your conception of God, if your understanding of God doesn't include the idea that he's a lavish and gracious gift giver, your idea of God is broken in some way. God is an incredible, incredible gift giver. His biggest gift is described here in this verse as eternal life. Eternal life. Now this is in contrast, you see, to that death. Remember the death being separated from your Creator forever? Eternal life is, of course, forever, but it's not just about length of life. Everybody will live forever somewhere. Eternal life is about being in a right relationship with your Creator. And that can start now in this life, where we get in a right relationship with our Creator. And if we die in a right relationship with our Creator, that life continues forever. That's eternal life. Being in relationship with God. And that's the gift that God wants to give everyone. And so the obvious question, you look at this and say, okay, how do I, you know, bypass the wages and get over to the gift? How exactly does that happen? Well, it says the wages of sin is death, but in contrast to that, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Another verse in the Bible says God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. By default, we're all on the left side. We're all sinners. The wages of sin are accruing to us. That's the default setting of every one of us. And the way we access the gift of God, which is eternal life, is somehow through Jesus. So how do we actually do that? How do you actually access it? Well, if you look at the Bible and dig around in how this happens, two words keep coming up again and again as how you cross over. And those two words are repent and believe. Repent is a very interesting word. It means that you're going in one direction and you realize you're going in the wrong direction. You have a change of heart, a change of mind that leads to a change of direction, a change of action. So it's like you're going this way, the wages of sin, and you turn around and face that bridge going towards the gift of God. That's repentance. Realizing that you're in the wrong. And belief simply means trusting in Jesus. Instead of trusting in what you think you can do to earn your way across, trusting in what Jesus Christ has done. So in a sense, this is when you wrap it all together, this is all good news, the whole thing. The bad news that leads us to the good news that leads us to the bridge, which is Jesus. When you look at it in Scripture, this idea of repenting and believing, the way you cross over is very simply by saying yes to God, by agreeing with God. They say, okay, God, I've done wrong. We've already agreed to that here, haven't we? We're already there. I deserve the wages of sin. Some people aren't quite sure. I assure you, the data is good. The GPS is correct. We actually deserve the wages of sin. I accept and believe that Jesus died for me. That's the key issue. That I can't earn my way across, I can't work my way across, it's because of what Jesus did for me, and I turn to God, and I receive his gift. What do you have to do to receive wages? Just work. What do you have to do to receive a gift? Receive. As a gift. Not based on your own merit. Have you done that? Have you agreed with this very simple principle of Scripture? Have you recognized that you've done wrong, that you're in line for the wages, and made the transfer to moving towards the gift? Now you can do that anytime. The sooner the better. You know, sometimes I get concerned. We say, oh, you can do that anytime. People say, oh, yeah, I'll wait. I'll wait till somewhere down. No, anytime means you can do it now. You can, in the quiet of your heart right now, agree with God. And say, God, I agree. I've done things that are wrong. I deserve stuff I don't want to face. But I'm willing to trust that Jesus is who he said he was. God the Son who died in my place to pay the price for everything I've ever done. I believe in that. I'm trusting in him. Back in July, I told a story here. I told this little story. I thought I'd tell it again because it fits. You know, one of the most famous stories in Scripture, everyone probably knows about it, is the story of the prodigal son, a son who wanders away from home. And as I shared back in July, there's a very similar story found in Buddhist literature. It sounds a lot like the prodigal son story. Both stories involve sons who become rebellious and leave home in a huff. They later see the error of their ways and decide to return home to be reconciled to their families. But then the stories are very different after that. In the Buddhist story, the errant son is required to work off the penalty for his past misdeeds by spending years in servitude. In the Christian parable, the story that Jesus told to illustrate this principle, the prodigal son ends up being warmly welcomed home by a loving father who showers him with undeserved forgiveness and grace. That's what this verse is talking about. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A lot of people believe in this thing called karma. Some people even think the Bible teaches karma. You know what goes around comes around. Well, guess what? The Bible teaches grace. Receiving a gift that we don't deserve, that we can't earn. And grace short circuits karma. If it's about karma, it's the wages of sin, which is death. That's karma. Grace comes in and blows that up and says, Jesus showed up and intervened and gives you grace. Gives you forgiveness that you don't deserve simply by trusting in what he has done. This is what we believe at Lake Windermere Alliance Church. This principle, this simple truth, really is to be the filter behind and the impetus behind everything that we do here. That's our GPS. That's our reference point, and the data is good. It directs everything that we do. Now, there's going to be a little bit more about this in 3 weeks when we talk about your family's greatest need. As you can understand, this probably ties in some way with your family's greatest need. Grace is a huge need in every family. And your family's greatest need really is grace. But in the meantime, if you want to know more about this, you're welcome to talk to me or Matt or someone you know who believes this. But I just want to make it clear this morning that this simple verse sums up the basic plot line of Scripture and is behind everything that we do. We want to be upfront about that. Yeah, we've got food, and we've got balloons, and we've got events, but behind it is the truth that the wages of sin is death. But there's another story. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what motivates us. That's why we do everything we do through this church, because of grace, what Jesus has done for us and what he wants to do for everyone. Let me just pray that this gets locked in and that you as an individual take the next steps, whatever that needs to be for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this simple little verse that contains so much. I pray for those here who believe it, who maybe have believed it for some time, that this truth would be like a fire burning in our heart that we need to speak of and share. That we'd be people of grace. That we'd be people just offering mercy and grace whenever we can, and that we would share the good news whenever we can. For those who are wrestling with this, who are maybe just heard it and understood it for the first time, I pray, Lord, that you'll give them the ability to respond to you, to say yes, to admit that they need forgiveness, to turn, to trust in Jesus and what he's done, and to receive that gift. I pray that many people will make that decision in the weeks and the months ahead through the life of these people in this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, if you want to know more about this, this is why we're here. Come and talk to us. That's what it's about. I'd like to ask Matt to come up here and just share a little bit about what goes on with our children, our children's ministry, and how we're going to move from this service into our barbecue time. And Matt will be here shortly.
I was so quiet you didn't hear me. I did a good job this time. I didn't squeak the floor or anything.
Not only his singer, he's a ninja. Good job, thanks.